Hello, bonjour, and welcome to Local First. I'm Candace Vetter, and today I'm speaking with the backyard astronomer, Gary Boyle. Hi, Gary. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, Candace. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask you about some of the things coming up for this summer for Sky Watchers, and there's quite a few exciting things coming up. And also, I was interested in hearing about how you got started in astronomy when you were a little boy.
Yeah, that's correct. I started back when I was 8 years old, back in 1965. And entering grade two after a summer vacation, meeting up with my friends on what we did during the summer. We went to the library to check out what new books were available. Well, went through the science section, came across the How and Why Funder series of books that have about 70 different topics. And the one that was labeled Stars, I just pulled that book out and started reading through and just was enthralled. And little did I know that one book would change my life for the past 60 years and just never stopped. It's really on page 16 of that book was a drawing of a yellow sun, which the sun is really white, and a small Earth dot appearing inside. And that was the size of the Earth compared to our daytime star. Actually, 109 Earths fit across the width of the sun like a string of pearls, and 1.2 million would fit inside. And just with the distances, temperatures, colors of stars, I've never really stopped.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Learning everything that's out there. The planets, let's talk about them. What are we looking at this summer?
Yeah, well, last in February, just a few weeks ago, we had the so-called lineup of all the planets. When they say lineup, they even included Uranus and Neptune, and knows how I pronounce Uranus, not the other way. It's like you're a good person, not stress on the A.
Okay.
But for those two planets, which are really discovered in 1781 and 1846, are telescopic planets. If you know where to look in the country sky with the moon not out, yeah, you will see them with binoculars or a telescope. Not naked eye like Venus, which we saw in the western sky, or even Jupiter and Mars, which are way up overhead. So we can only see pretty well two of these planets now, as Venus, Mercury, and Saturn are moving into the morning sky as they orbit the sun, and as we orbit the sun too. So really any cell phone app or app on your tablet will show where the planets are at any given time. And with the five wandering planets, which we can see naked eye along the sun, the moon, give us our 7 days of the week, such as Saturday for day of Saturn, Sunday, day of the sun, and so on.
And we talked about Saturday and Sunday and Monday being for the moon. And then you mentioned the other days of the week that come, some of them come from in French, they come from the planets as well. Not in English, but in French. Yeah.
Yeah. So Monday or Lundi is the moon. Tuesday, Mardi for Mars. Wednesday, Mercredi for Mercury. Thursday, Jeudi for Jupiter. And Friday, Vendredi for Venus.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. Some other things are coming up this year. Supermoons have been something that's been in the news a lot lately. And so what exactly is a supermoon?
Well, supermoon is really the combination of the full moon and the new moon, but that we don't see, and the proximity of distance to the Earth. So the moon has an elliptical orbit around our planet, which is all planets around the sun too, but we vary by about 50,000 kilometers from furthest and nearest approach. So combination of the both, you'll see the moon about 14% larger and 30% brighter than when it's farthest away in orbit. It's really just a term given by an astrologer back in 1979, thinking that this was the impending doom of more earthquakes, but really it's been happening all the time.
Right. Yes, it happens all the time. It's not a new thing.
And one little fun fact, too, with the moon is next month, of course, we're celebrating Easter, and that is the celebration or holiday that changes every year. Some years we have an early Easter, sometimes late. Well, the factor contributing to this is really when the full moon is for that particular year. And coming up in April is the full pink moon. That will occur on April 30th. And so the Sunday after, April 20th, is Easter Sunday. And this is really everything after spring, which is March 20th. So you take the first day of spring, go to the next full moon of that year, and then the Sunday right after is Easter Sunday. So April 20th this year is when we eat ham and turkey and all the good things.
Just to reiterate what you just said, so anyone can figure out when Easter will be if they know, if they look at the full moon after the spring equinox, and it'll be the next Sunday after that full moon.
That is correct.
Something you have mentioned to me before is that you're building a observatory in your backyard.
Yes, this is a project that's been going on for a while. In fact, we've actually had an observatory back in Barrhaven in Ottawa before we moved to the country in 2013. So it was finally time to build a bigger and better observatory. The old one was only 9 by 11 feet because of the limited size we had in the backyard. But now, since we have almost 3 acres of land bordering on cornfields, this is going to be 24 by 12 feet with a roof roof that really rolls off to one side. That will house 2 telescopes, and the control room will be completely insulated. The wires from or cables from the cameras on the telescopes, which a friend of mine is coming on project too, along with myself, move into the control room, all under the floor. So it'll be a real project when it's finished, which is almost done, but because of winter last year, we just couldn't finish in time. So hopefully within a few weeks, we shall complete the project.
And you have a GoFundMe, I think, for that, don't you?
Yes, thanks for asking. Yes, I do have a GoFundMe page on my link on my website, wondersofastronomy.com, which also your listeners can always email me any questions they might have on astronomy, telescopes, photography, anything and everything, except horoscopes. I don't do those.
I know, right? It's astronomy, not astrology.
That's that right.
And finally, you are working on a book.
Yeah, this is really a work in progress. Had it going for many, many years. Really, it's just an introduction to astronomy for the beginner. There are many terms out there, and there are a lot of great websites out there, a lot of great books in astronomy. So it's not like there's one cookbook or one book on sports. I mean, there's not one book on astronomy. So my take on it is to understand the various terms on astronomy, what a galaxy is or how stars form. I speak about different telescope designs and, you know, what each do sort of thing. And I added my very personal experiences of observing over the decades of various expeditions. And so it really puts the reader behind the eyepiece of the telescope in a third person kind of category. So that's eventually hopefully be coming out. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, as many books are. Well, you'll be sure to let us know when it's available.
I shall. Well, there are many meteor showers throughout the year, a lot of minor ones. I mean, we're talking like 10 or 15 meteors per hour. Nothing really great. Toward the latter part of the year, we have the Perseids. On August 11th and 12th, those 2 nights will be the most. About 90 meteors per hour will be seen. That's one of the bigger displays. But unfortunately, the waning gibbous moon will be hindering the sky, which means a lot of the fainter ones will not be seen. Then we have also the Gemini in December, colder month, where we have about 120 meteors per hour. The moon will be favorable, but of course, cold conditions. And the great thing about the Perseids, although it's not the largest in numbers, great time of year, people are on vacation, the weather's still decent, at the cottage, tenting, camping, whatever. So it's a great time to look up. Even when the moon is out, you might see some real bright fireballs, images that you'll never, ever forget. Like anything in science, it has to be behold in person. I mean, you can look at flowers or listen to songbirds on an MP4, you know, audio, but to see the birds, to listen to them, to smell the flowers, look at stars, fireflies in person. Everyone must experience science at one point in its all entirety.
Oh, that sounds like a great place to end. Thanks so much, Gary. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Candace. Take care.
Thank you. I'm Candace Vetter, and I've been speaking to Gary Boyle, the backyard astronomer, about what's coming up in the sky this summer. This is CJRO Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative. CJRO, last on the dial, first for local news.